So good morning. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, rule and guide. Amen. O Lady, Queen of the Angels, Saint Joseph, Saint Thomas, all our guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As St. John 23rd once recalled an anecdote about himself, referring to the papal audiences on St. Peter's Square, he was saying, "Looking at a great crowd of pilgrims, I used to think of the equally numerous crowds of invisible guardian angels present in the same square." So the Holy Father points here out a reality what most of us are not really aware. We heard about it, but we do not really believe it, and therefore it's not in our awareness. Also, in this hall, looking at you all, I realize not only you are there, but also your holy guardian angels. There's one there, one there, one there, one there. There's one here with me. So we want also to greet our guardian angel who serve us so faithfully and tirelessly and lovingly. So, good morning, all your guardian angels, and thank you for your great service. Thank you. Pope John Paul I, he was the 30-day pope, he said, "Angels are the great strangers in this time. It is necessary to speak much more about them as ministers of providence in the government of the world and of men. Develop an intimate relationship with them." And this is what we want really to achieve with this talk, that we develop an intimate relationship, friendship with God. Father Pio used to say, after Jesus and Mary, no one loves us more than our own guardian angel. And how much are we lacking in gratitude and acknowledgement? Let's begin with a reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming, taught him, and said of him, "He was a true Israelite, there is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It's a solemn proclamation when Jesus says something very crucial, very important for us to know and to take to heart. Then he begins with a solemn word, "Amen, amen, I say to you." So it's very, very important. Listen well and take it to heart. "You will see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The angels are a little bit forgotten, like St. Joseph. Now, how are we to understand this text? St. Augustine has a very good commentary on this gospel. He says, "How can the angels descend and ascend on the Son of Man? Now he's reigning in heaven at the right hand of the Father. How can Jesus be at the same time above and here below?" And then, as a solution, he brings the Acts of the Apostles. Now, when Saul was on the way to Damascus to imprison the Christians, suddenly a light flashed from the sky and he got blind. And then he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Note here, Jesus does not say here, "Paul, why do you persecute the Christians?" But he says, "Why do you persecute me?" In other words, our Lord identifies himself with each one who is baptized into his body. So what Saul is doing to the Christians, he's really doing to Jesus, because we are intimately united in the mystical body of Christ. And so, as Augustine goes so far to say, you are Christ, we are Christ, because we are part of the mystical body. So in this sense, the angels are ascending and descending on the Son of Man. We are all the Son of Man. St. Augustine also says, he goes much, much further, that to the angels who possess God in humility and serve him in blessedness, all material nature and all rational life are subjected. St. Thomas Aquinas holds the same principle, namely that God makes use of the angels for every physical intervention in the universe, and that all corporeal things are ruled by the angels. So in other words, God has given over the administration of the whole creation to the angels. They keep the natural law, so to say, in existence. They support it. Every physical intervention is caused by the angels. The angels are, as it were, the hands and feet of God's providence. St. Thomas even says, each species has its angel. Each species has its angel. So there's no flower, no rock, no animal, nothing in creation that is not taken care of by an angel or several angels. Now, we are rational beings, and according to St. Augustine, therefore also, we are all taken care of the angels without exception. The guardian angels, in a particular way, never leave us for one second. They're always at our side and mediate basically all the actual graces to us. Therefore, St. Paul writes in the letter to the Hebrews that all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. So there's an immensity of angels present in this world, in the whole universe. Their numbers exceed far than the number of all human beings of all times. But they are also the armies of Satan, besides. But the good angels are stronger by God's grace. In the second book of Kings, there's this episode of the king of Aram who was persecuting the prophet Elisha. So he sent a very strong army after him. And then Elisha, on the way, he got very afraid. He had a young attendant. He became very afraid when he saw this huge army coming after them. And then Elisha told to his attendant, fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The young guy was looking around all over, couldn't see anything. And then Saint Elisha, he prayed, I pray, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord heard him, and he opened the eyes of the attendant, the spiritual eye, and he could see all the mountains full with chariots of angels who were protecting Elisha. May God also open our eyes and hearts for the present and powerful help of the angels in our own life, who are constantly ascending and descending upon us. Now we are here on a Holy Family Fest, and let's now meditate, reflect shortly, briefly, about the angels in the life of the Holy Family. It's really amazing for me that even the Holy Family, who are holier than all the angels, needed the help of the angels to fulfill their mission. Let's begin with the Blessed Mother, the Annunciation. It always puzzles me when I think about the Annunciation. Why did God send the angel Gabriel in order to announce, you know, the good news to Our Lady, to basically to propose on the place of God whether Our Lady would be the Mother of God? There's no more intimate relationship than that between Mary and God. There is no more intimate relationship between a creature and God. And nevertheless, God sends an angel. If I would not know the Annunciation story, you would ask me, should God propose himself? I'd say, absolutely. It's something so intimate between God and the Blessed Mother. God should talk to Our Lady directly. No, he sends the angel. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic teacher, doctor, he comments on this. He says, "It was fitting for the mystery of the incarnation to be announced to the Mother of God by an angel." And one reason he gives is that this was the order established by God by which divine things are revealed to men, namely by means of the angels. The angels were the first to be taught the divine mystery of the loving kindness of Jesus. Afterwards, the grace of knowledge was imparted to us through them. So St. Thomas, he says, that's the principle. That's the way established by God. He communicates light, knowledge, through the angels to us. That's the ordinary way. St. John of the Cross, he basically teaches the same principle. That first, everything comes from the Holy Spirit. And he communicates at intercession, goes also to the Blessed Mother, we can say, but then it goes down through all the choirs of the nine angels. And then it arrives with us. You see how much we are all interconnected, especially in the life of grace. And therefore, if you cut out in your life the angels as mediators, you cut out grace. And the more you turn to the angels and are devoted to them, the more perfect and clear can they communicate the divine mysteries to you, that you understand them. There's a clear factor in the communication of light and grace in God's order. So, how did Our Lady profit from the angel's annunciation? The angel also communicated to Our Lady the greatest mystery of our faith, the most central mystery of our faith. What is this? A question for you. What's the central mystery of our faith? No, not the Incarnation. Not the Eucharist, no. The Trinity, yes. The life of God in Himself, God's life. Everything else is only comes forth from the Blessed Trinity, from the heart of the Blessed Trinity. We wouldn't have a Eucharist without the Blessed Trinity. We wouldn't have the Blessed Mother without the Trinity. We wouldn't have any mystery of our faith without the Blessed Trinity. It's a central mystery of our faith. We can only understand these mysteries in relation to the Blessed Trinity. The more you enter the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, though this is a mystery you never can fully understand, the more you enter the mystery of the Trinity, the more you understand the mystery of the Eucharist, the Incarnation, the mystery of Mary, the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, and all the other mysteries. Therefore, do not dispense yourself from learning and praying and adoring the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. It's the foundation of our faith. It's the greatest and most central mystery of our faith. So here, for the first time, the mystery of the greatest mystery of our faith is revealed to a human creature. In the Old Testament, it was not known that God is a Trinity. They only adored God as one God, but not in three persons. Only here, for the first time, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be called the Son of the Most High. So we have already the Trinity for the first time. The angel also revealed to the Blessed Mother the mystery of the Incarnation, that God becomes man. And further, Our Lady also received a vocation from the angel through the mouth of the angel, that she is called to be the Mother of God. Further, from the angel, we know also about the mystery of the Immaculate Conception. Hail, full of grace. On these words of the angel, the Church bases the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. You see, all these great mysteries, God communicates through the angels. And not only an information, but He also helps us to comprehend in mind and heart, and then that we can embrace it with faith. In all this, the angels assist us. Now let's go on to St. Joseph. Just one One advice for your parents. Teach your children to have a familiar relationship with the guardian angels, because they can do the same. The angels can do the same for your kids what they did for Mary. She was at the time only 13 or 14 years old. They can also, through the special help of the angel, they can recognize their God-given vocation and embrace it, like Our Lady. And they can teach them all the mysteries that are first instructors of the mysteries of our faith, the angels. They are first instructors. So let's go to St. Joseph. We know St. Joseph had also great reason to be grateful to the angels. When he had discovered that Our Lady was with child, he wanted to divorce Our Lady quietly. But at this point, an angel came to him in a dream vision, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her." Here again, the angels clarifies this misunderstanding, and he confirms Joseph to take Mary into his home. In other words, St. Joseph would never have seen Christmas Day. He would have left Our Lady. So the angel points here, stick with Our Lady. That is God's plan for you, to be the foster father of the Son of God and the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Then there were two more occasions when the angel appeared to St. Joseph. When the child was already born, the angel again appeared to him and warned him of Herod's wrath. He wanted to kill the baby, as you know. And so in the night, he appeared again, "Get up immediately and go to Egypt. Herod wants to kill the child." And very important for us all, Joseph was obedient. As he was the first time obedient when the angel told him, take Mary into his home, he also right away prompt obedience. This is so important in our spiritual life. If we procrastinate, you lose the grace. You lose the grace. The grace becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Your clear-sightedness gets more and more foggy and foggy and foggy. In the end, you don't have the light of grace, the light of clear knowledge anymore. That was so important. If St. Joseph would have said, "Oh, let me sleep in, let's go tomorrow morning," the child would have been killed. You see how important it is to be promptly obedient when we know something is God's will. So all these things we can learn here in our relationship with grace in general and in our communication with the angels and the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph. And the third time then, the Holy Family had to move to Egypt, which was very painful. They could not live as their own people anymore. No temple. They lived among pagans. All this was also in expiation for the sins of the world. That they would also gain the graces for us when we are somehow abandoned, our families are abandoned, our children are abandoned, that they can gain the graces for us to persevere when we are in trouble. So all this was for our good. The 7 years in Egypt were extremely painful for the Holy Family, to be divided from their land and from the temple. Now the fact we talk now about Our Lady, St. Joseph, how much they profited, and the Bible only gives some pointers. So there are many other ways the Holy Family really profited from the help and the enlightenment of the angels. But the fact that this holy man and Our Lady were instructed by angels and guided by the angels shows us clearly that even the most just and holiest of all men cannot perfectly accomplish the will of God without the guiding light of the holy angels. And therefore, we all need to allow the angels to live in our families. They're anyway there, but we need to turn to them. Jesus also was ministered by the angels in the desert. And there's one episode which is for me maybe the most amazing passage in Holy Scripture, when our Lord entered into his passion, in his agony in Gethsemane, and there, in view of the burden of sin, all the past, present, and future sins, sufferings, all this mud and dirt he had to take on himself and to bring it to the cross. And the burden was so heavy that our Lord sweat blood. And his weakness, he prayed, "Father, take away this chalice. It's so heavy. But not my will, but yours be done." And here in this agony, our Lord continued to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray. Also a lesson for you and me. In trouble, do not just turn away. Do not get into despair, or no, do not give up. But in trouble, go to where grace and help and strength can be found, and that is to God. Pray to God, go to the Blessed Mother, and there will be, you will get strength also through the angels. So Lord prayed and prayed and prayed. And God, he does not always take away the suffering when we pray, but one thing he did, he sent an angel to strengthen our Lord. And our Lord, in his human nature, needed him. And without the angel, he could not have fulfilled his salvific sacrifice on the cross. This is something very mysterious in the Gospels. And you don't hear much talking about it, because the mystery is often too deep for theologians to touch. Objectively speaking, Jesus did not need an angel because he is also God. He could have relied on his divine nature and simply have called upon 12 legions of angels, no problem. But our Lord wanted to be like us in everything, also in suffering. Nothing special, not relying on his divine nature. In this sense, he would have played a game with us. And we could not really believe this love Jesus had for us to the end, that he really would suffer for us on the cross. So our Lord really suffered all this in his humanity. And in order to fulfill his sacrifice on the cross, God sent an angel. And strengthened by the angel, he could fulfill it. Also for us, when we are afraid, when we are burdened, call on the angels and they will strengthen you. I often experience it in my own life. You know, priestly life is not easy. Not only the family life is under attack, but also priesthood is under great attack, maybe more than the families. Both are under great attack, absolutely. It's not easy to be a priest, you know. When you come sometimes into trouble, you know, in a pain of soul, very profound, you don't know where to go, what to do. What I do usually, I pray to my guardian angel, go to all the good people in the world who pray for priests. Instruct them or inspire them to offer prayers and sacrifices for me that they may have some relief. And I tell you, it always works. Almost instantly, I get not necessarily relief of what I'm going through, but I get strength, I get hope, I get trust. This, the angels will always communicate to you too when you have trust in the angels' help. This is one of the ministries God entrusted to the angels, to strengthen us in our fears, in our sufferings, in our trials. One quote from Pope Benedict in regards to the angels in family life, you know, all the Book of Tobit, when the angel Raphael was telling Tobias on the way that he should marry Sarah, the daughter of a relative of Tobias. And then Tobias objected because he knew Sarah was already married to 7 men, and each time in the wedding night, a demon killed her husbands. So now he was too afraid. He wouldn't get married to this girl. So Pope Benedict here, and then Saint Raphael, of course, he took away his fear, strengthened him, and then the two really were mind and heart and had probably a very happy marriage. But Pope Benedict, he gave a very nice commentary on Saint Raphael and his ministry here towards Tobias and Sarah. So he says, The Book of Tobit refers to two of the archangel Raphael's emblematic tasks of healing. And then he says, Raphael heals the disturbed communion between a man and a woman. He heals their love. He drives out the demons who over and over again exhaust and destroy their love. He purifies the atmosphere between the two and gives them the ability to accept each other forever. That's a powerful statement. And this is what the angels do in general in your families, if you welcome them, if you rely on them. You know, there are so many misunderstandings in a marriage. And the devil, you know, he can stir up a bad memory you have about your husband or you about your wife. Maybe there was some infidelity or some hurt from the past. And the devil, he can stir up this memory. And then comes again this feeling of hurt and then this feeling of maybe taking a little bit of revenge, maybe showing a cold shoulder to the husband or the wife. There's so many incidents, you know, in family life which we do not know what's really behind. But in all this, God has given you and your families the angels as most powerful helpers to support you in your family life. Again, they clear the air. They can stir up good memories about your husband, your wife, your children. They can stir up positive memories and so on. And they can drive out the demons who want to poison the atmosphere in the family. The bad angels that want to intervene in your family life, to divide the family, to bring discord to the family. And the angels, they want to do the opposite. So therefore, really, I recommend you, recommend your life as individuals, but also as a family, to the angels of your family. So also, our Lord grew up in a family, and the whole Holy Family really profited from the help of the angels. Let's go maybe to the catechism. And I give you some principle of the angelic ministry, which are universal. So this is really teaching of the church. And often we read these paragraphs, but we do not really understand or realize the depths and the meaning. For example, 334 says, the whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. The whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. Who is the church? Of course, the Pope, the bishops, the priests. You, of course, you are church, I am church. Each one who is baptized is part of the church. The whole life includes also the liturgy, prayer life. Anything that has to do with bringing us in contact and union with God. So the angels, we benefit from their mysterious and powerful help in your families. You are church, and so the whole family, your whole family benefits from the powerful and mysterious help of the angels. Then from its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by the angels' watchful care and intercession. So from the first moment of conception, of life, until your last breath, your life is surrounded by angels. Right now, you're surrounded by angels. You're surrounded by angels. You all are surrounded by angels. I am surrounded by angels. You probably don't see them, but they are there. It's an act of faith. If our faith is strong, then we realize and are aware the angels are here. And why are they here? To serve you, to enlighten you, to protect you, to guide you, and so on, in order to lead you to union with God and the Blessed Mother. Then St. Thomas Aquinas has another powerful statement, a tremendous statement. He speaks there about when we are tempted or fall into sin, he asks, is the devil always involved? Now, many people say yes, but that's not true. St. Thomas says, Because of original sin, we can easily fall into sin without the influence of the devil. So, for example, he mentions we can overeat easily. We don't need the devil for that. We can become impatient. We don't need the devil for that either. So, we can fall into sin with or without the devil. But then he goes on and says, but man cannot advance in merit without the divine assistance. Let's first explain this. You cannot grow in merit, in union with God, in charity, in faith, hope, and charity, in all the supernatural virtues without the divine assistance, because these are supernatural virtues. That means they go beyond our natural capacities. Therefore, they are supernatural. That means beyond our natural capacities. You cannot make an act of faith. You cannot say, I believe in God, without God first giving you this grace. But God will, of course, always give us this grace. So again, man cannot advance in merit without the divine assistance. And Thomas goes on to say, which is born to man by the ministry of the angels. That means all this help, this light, by growing towards union with God. Here the angels are intimately involved. This help comes to us through the angels. And therefore he makes the conclusion, the final conclusion, which is in the catechism. So it's teaching of the church. For this reason, the angels take part in all our good works. Not in 10, in 20 works a day, or 99%, in 100% of our works, good works, that help us to grow in greater union with God, the angels are involved. How did they do this? Enlightenment, give us the knowledge, encouragement, strengthening, protecting us from the evil one, because the evil one wants to sow his evil thoughts in our mind. So all these are the angels doing in our spiritual life. Basically, you cannot really pray without the angelic help. Prayer life is part of the life of the church. And we cannot really pray without, it's a mysterious thing, without the help of the angels. This is simply the way God established, the rule God established, how we are received grace from God that comes through the angels. You cannot argue with God's rule. He established it. He also established that the Blessed Mother is our mother in the order of grace, and that we do not receive any grace without her intercession. We can also not argue about your families, that the education of the children in great measure depends on your goodness, you being good parents. So it will really depend on you. God makes the good of your children dependent on you. Now a level higher, God makes our spiritual good dependent on the ministry of the angels. But the angels, they are immaculate. They cannot fail because they live in the light of glory. They cannot fail. The ones who are failing are we, because we do not invite them into our life. We do not allow them to guide us as they want to guide us. That's the reason why we lose so many graces. We do not acknowledge their ministry towards us. Also in regards to teaching, how is faith, there's another principle Thomas Aquinas teaches. How is faith communicated? For example, from me to me or from you to your kids. Thomas Aquinas says, faith requires that what is to be believed be proposed to the believer. So you propose what is to be believed to your kids. No? That's the human part. According to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. So you absolutely need to communicate the faith, talk, no? Catechize your kids. Absolutely. That's simply part of our human duty here in this world, our mission. But this is only one side of the coin. how this truth is communicated to your kids. The other side is, Thomas Aquinas goes on to say, yes, basically he says, humans need to communicate this new knowledge to the one who is to be instructed. But principally, this is done by the ministry of the angels by whom divine things are revealed to men. Hence, the angels have some part in the enlightenment of faith. Moreover, men are enlightened by the angels not only concerning what is to be believed, but also in regards to what is to be done. You see again this cooperation between men and angels. The angels cannot teach your children, at least not so directly. They can do it in also in other ways, but the normal way to teach your children is you and the angels in cooperation. So there's this human element, and this is angelic, and this angelic element. So each time you catechize your children, at the same time the angels cooperate with you. And without their input, your catechesis would be fruitless. How does this work? I said already, the angels, they work on you and me. They help me to embrace the grace. They help me, hopefully, to express it in a way that you can understand me, comprehend, and accept it. This is not something I have by myself. It's a grace of God. Then the one who is to be instructed. Here the angel also, as I said, the angel always cooperates in everything in your spiritual life. So also here, the angel now opens your mind, gives you the grace of faith that you can acknowledge and embrace and understand what I am communicating to you. This is the angel right now doing in your mind and in your heart. That is what St. Thomas Aquinas teaches. And now apply this to your kids and to each other. There's always this angelic element, what we do not see. That's for us hard to believe. But this happened also in the life of Mary and Joseph, as we have seen. So one advice for you, when you teach your kids, pray to your guardian angel and to the guardian angel of your kids to help you in your catechism class. And you can ask a lot of things, you can make your own formula. But you will see, if you have a friendship and real trust in the angels, it will make a difference how you teach and how your kids will embrace this teaching. It makes a difference. So in this way, you empower the angel to shed a greater light into the hearts of your kids, so to say. Now let's go on. I know what is most convincing, this was just a lot of bones, what I gave you so far. But we need also some flesh, you know, some real stories. So one of our members, he gave us the following story. It's from 2005. Her 18-year-old daughter, she had joined the army, and it was probably not a very wise decision at the time, but during her stay in the boot camp for basic training, there was basically no means to communicate with her daughter for the mother. And the mother knew that her daughter felt lonely and homesick. She just knew it because she loved her daughter very much. And therefore, the mother's heart felt like breaking and she could hardly sleep. But the mother also knew that the best she could do for her daughter in this situation was praying for her. And since she had a very special devotion to the guardian angels of her family, she pleaded with her own guardian angels to going to the daughter and bringing to her daughter her own love, her mother's love. The mother also asked the guardian angel to bless the daughter and even to kiss her goodnight for her, and to surround her daughter with the warmth of the mother, with the mother's love. In this way, they passed about 9 weeks of basic training. And then in October of the following year, the mother could finally see the daughter again. And then the daughter said, "Mom, you don't understand what was happening to me. At night when I go to bed, I feel like cradled in love. And during the day, sometimes I prayed, and when I prayed, I felt everything get easier. My 30-pound backpack felt almost as nothing. Now the mother herself always was convinced that the angel would execute her requests, but she did not expect basically such a profound confirmation. You see, faith is the key. Faith was the key that God could become man. St. Elizabeth praised Our Lady, blessed because of her faith. That's the key. If we have faith in the help of the angels, they can do all the things for in our family life too. Now I need to go to my laptop because I'm lacking here a few information. So, I think you know already some of the consequences that follow from what we heard so far. For example, you all have kids. I don't know what schools they are going. Some of you may homeschool. Others, they send you to public school, maybe to Catholic school. In any case, sooner or later, there are occasions your kids or your teenagers, they leave the house. So, now you cannot watch over them. But you can do something else. There's an invisible network. And because you are the parents, you are the father and you are the mother, you have authority over your kids. And when you empower the angels, when you ask the angel to empower them to watch over your kids when they are gone, the angels will do it if it is God's will. If you don't do it, your kids will not have this special help. It depends whether you ask or not. Why do we pray for God? Our Lord said, knock and the door will be opened. Ask and you will receive. We need to pray. And that is a sign and proof that we really believe. And with each prayer, our bond with the angels and between each other grows. So this does not happen automatically, but you as your parents and educators, you can do this. And then the angel will go out and protect your kids. You know, they go out and you don't know with whom they come in contact, what they hear at school, when they go to friends. And they usually will not tell you when something bad happened to them. They were watching maybe material that was not appropriate. They won't tell you. Only later, when it's too late, it will come out in one or the other way. But first, it will be hidden. The devil does his own thing to it. See, the angels can shield you in many ways. My mother, too, after my ordination, she told me, each time you left the house, I prayed to your guardian angel. And I think it worked because only afterwards I realized it must have been really my guardian angel because I was going out with my friends, usually Friday sometimes, Saturday always, Sunday. You know, we're going also dancing and these things. And had some beer and so on. But there was always a point, it was around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, it felt like stop. It's like, not physically, but it was like this, stop, it's enough now, go home. I lost all pleasure in where I was, all desire to stay. And normally, I always immediately obeyed and went home. While my friends, they were continuing often all night long, they were continuing. So this happened almost every weekend, almost the same story. And I was always amazed. And after my mother told me this, now a light went up. It was probably my guardian angel because he knew my vocation and he thought, better not too late, you know, otherwise he may lose his vocation. So this works also in your life, in your family. There's also a very good book I will afterwards offer to you, Under Angels' Wings. It is from a little girl. She became later a religious nun, and because of her saintliness, her superiors asked her to write an autobiography. It's called Under Angels' Wings, and it's Sister Maria Antonia, her maiden name is Sissy Coney. So it's full of guardian angel stories, simple, really touching, beautiful. It's my favorite angel book, only stories. And here you see the angel also motivating Sissy, so the child, she was at that time 8 years old, for example, to serve a bigger woman. It was a great cross for the little girl. The angel told her, you take care of this bigger woman. You wash her, you cut her nails, you clothe her, you feed her, and so on. And little girl, she went into the home of this poor beggar woman, and she had even to vomit because of the dirt and the filth that was in the house. And she wanted to go away. And the angel said, no, you made a contract with Jesus, go back and serve that beggar woman. And she went back, and everything went well in the end, and the beggar woman was happy afterwards. And then a week later, the priest went there, heard her confession, gave her Holy Communion, and she died right afterwards. All these things, you know, are possible, you know, in your lives and your families too, when we allow ourselves to be guided by our angels. One other story she relates in this book. One day they were going to school for a solidarity meeting. And so all the children, they brought some money. And then suddenly the meeting did not take place. Now what to do with the money? One of the girls had the idea, let's go to the square after school and ride a merry-go-round and buy some fruit salad. So everyone was delighted about the idea, but then Cecilia made the objection that she would be late and that her mother would not like the idea to be late. So all the girls made an agreement to tell it home to the parents they were at school during afternoon, so all day long. And then they went to the square and ride the merry-go-round, and afterwards had their fruit salad. In the late afternoon, everyone was walking home very happily. And then suddenly a thought came to Cecilia's mind. You know, when suddenly a thought comes, it's always a sign that comes from some outside. It was certainly her guardian angel who stirred up now a memory. Namely, that she would lie to her mother in order to be not to be punished. It would be the first time she would lie and commit a sin. And then she realized how the devil was tempting her. But all the girls are going to give the same excuse. You can do the same. So again, if you know the rules of discernment of the spirits of St. Ignatius, That's it. We are the battlefield, and there are the good angels who want to inspire us with good thoughts, with good resolutions, and there are the evil angels who want to lead us into sin. You see that clearly here with that girl. So she realized that the devil was influencing her. And then another story came to her mind. Namely, she had heard from a nun who was teaching catechism class in school of a boy who had gone to purgatory because he had told a lie at home. So again, this was certainly a stirring up of the angel again. Also, what you teach to your children is in the sense memory, and the angels have the power at any time to stir up this memory, this good memory. And this helped her now to avoid sin. So now first, she had fear of punishment. She didn't want to go to purgatory. But here it did not end. But now it goes even further. From fear of punishment, the angel now leads her to a perfect contrition. So the story goes on. At this point, her guardian angel, whom she could see, made her lift up her head to look at his face. And the angel's face was very sad. And at the same time, as she said, she got a warning of the angels that a lie wounded the sacred head of the good Jesus, whom she loved so much. So the angel here communicated to her, if you commit this sin, you hurt Jesus so much, whom you love. It was a much greater motivation for her to not to commit the sin. This was now perfect contrition, true love for Jesus. You see how the angel leads her through these stages of sort of purification to a change of mind and then even to a perfect contrition motivated by pure love. This is possible because the child is open to the angel. And this is possible in everybody's life. The angels also help us to discover our vocation. Not always really noticeably, but often, normally, when we discover vocation, a religious vocation, a priestly vocation, this is also normally communicated to us or made known to us by the angels. We don't know it, we don't see it, but sometimes, you know, God allows us to see that it was really an angel. And there's a story of Monsignor Sawyer. He was the pastor in Assumption Grotto in Detroit, where our order served for many, many years. So, and he, at the age of 24 years, he joined the army during World War II. And then he also, during his military time, he became a Catholic. He converted from being Protestant, he became a Catholic. And just a couple weeks after his baptism, he began to date a younger lady, and he became very much attached to her. And one evening, you know, after the sun setting, beautiful moonlight, he was walking along the beach, holding hands with her, you know, had a nice chat with each other, and suddenly, as he said, he experienced a tapping on his shoulder, and then he received a message. You are to go to the seminary as soon as you get out of the army. Basically, the same happened to me. I was not in the military, but I was also engaged, basically. And then I also got the message. Monsignor said, this was my guardian angel. And he also said, it was unmistakable, immediate and unmistakable. It was also a shock. It was also a shock. I'm saying this because your children have dreams, expectations of life. And when God breaks into their lives, it can often feel like a shock. For you, it means you need to pray. You need to pray that they have the grace to embrace this God-willed vocation for them. It's not about, you know, when we say you should pray for priestly vocation and religious vocation of family. It's not about changing God's mind. God has his mind already. From all eternity, he knows whom he wants to call to the priesthood and whom he wants to call to the religious life, also who are called for family life. It's all in God's mind. It's not a change of God's mind. But it is when you pray for vocation from your family that your child may recognize his God-given vocation in life and embrace it. This is what you pray for. Many parents fear that their children could become priests or religious. They rather don't want it. That's a big mistake. And here they impede in a certain way. They are a stumbling block in the discernment process of their kids. If they will pray that God simply may call them to priesthood or religious life or give them their God-given vocation, then they would profit from your prayers and your help. Few quotes from the Pope. Pope Pius XII, you know, the battle we are in right now is a spiritual battle and it gets worse in our culture. Pius XII was a very prophetic pope in many ways. And he also said, so briefly before he died, we must unite with the holy angels. With them we must become one great strong family in few of the times that are approaching us. With them we must become one great strong family in few of the times that are approaching us. So unite yourself consciously with your angels of the family especially. Then Pius XII, he was also a very holy, it's the same pope, but he also basically teaches us holy manipulation. Holy manipulation. He said, in speaking with someone, for example, you have an argument with your wife or with your husband or with someone else at school or other moms or at work. So he says, in speaking with someone who is close to your argument, Go to your guardian angel to recommend the matter to him. Ask him to take it up with the guardian angel of the person you have to see. Once the two angels establish an understanding, the conversation with the visitor will be much easier. A condition that this will work is that you really want God's will. I want God's will in this affair. If you have this intention, this pure intention, then this holy manipulation will work normally, most of the time. So there's much more to say, but we need to move on now. St. Augustine, one last quote maybe. He said, with the angels we form one city of God, and with city of God he means the church. And we can apply this to the family. With the angels we form one domestic family. That's the truth. Not only you live in your household with your kids, but also the guardian angel of each one of you belongs to your family and supports your family. But often we act in this way. We are so concerned about family matters that we forget about the angelic help. We leave them out of the door, and they cannot really help us. We need to build a friendship, a relationship. You all know when your kid has a good relationship, a friendship with you, a loving relationship, then your child is open for your instruction, for your counsel, for the good things you can communicate to the kid. If your child is not open to you, builds a wall, does not like you, the child will not profit from your wisdom, from your goodness. And so it is in your life in regards to the angels. The more you're open through friendship and love to them and trust, the more they can communicate their gifts to you. Enlightenment, protection, help in every aspect of your life. So now let's speak about consecration. You heard about consecration to Jesus on Monday, I believe. So that's our fundamental consecration, our baptismal consecration. Then the consecration of Mary, which is a sacramental. That means it supports and helps us to live our baptismal consecration more perfectly. And, for example, our consecration finds expression in the consecration to the Sacred Heart. Why do we consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart? The Sacred Heart is the center of Jesus' human nature. The human heart is a symbol of love. From the love of the Sacred Heart flow all graces in creation, those which both angels and men receive. And the Church recommends to the faithful to consecrate himself to the Sacred Heart, and I hope you as a family have done that already or will still do it. Pope Pius XI states that through an act of consecration to the Sacred Heart, we devote ourselves and all things that are ours to the Divine Heart of Jesus, acknowledging that we have received all things from the everlasting love of God. And then we should renew this consecration possibly every first Friday. Besides the consecration to the Sacred Heart, there's a consecration to the Blessed Mother. It's also encouraged by the Church. Sometimes even heaven asks for a consecration to the Blessed Mother. For example, in Fatima, the Blessed Mother or God asked for the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we know the effect. After this consecration was finally achieved, 67 years after the request, 67 years it took the Church to make this act of consecration. At this point, Russia had already spread its errors all over the world. But nevertheless, in 1984, on May 13th, Our Lady accepted this consecration from John Paul II, the Fatima Pope. 6 years later, the Iron Curtain fell. Communist states fell apart. Nobody can explain. But the Holy Father predicted this before 90 already, that the curtain will fall. He told that already Cardinal Meissner in Germany, that the curtain soon will fall. So the Pope knew it. He believed in the power of this consecration to the Blessed Mother. Now, this was something unique, but I give this simply as an example how powerful graces, consecration to the Blessed Mother can bring to your family. And now we come to the consecration to the angels. Now, consecration to Sacred Heart, consecration to the Blessed Mother. What's about a consecration even to the angels? Is it still necessary? It has also great value, because there are three main relationships we all have in our life. Sacred Heart, of course, is God. He's the mediator between God and man. So there's no way to heaven without Jesus. The same we can basically also apply to the Blessed Mother. She's the mother in the order of grace. She bears us to eternal life. So there's two indispensable relationships we need to have. And therefore, we consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart and to the Blessed Mother. But the angels have also a key role in our lives, much more than any other saint except the Blessed Mother and maybe Saint Joseph. But they have also a key role for the simple reason that each one of us has a personal guardian angel assigned to us. Each one of us. And what we have learned now during this lecture, all the actual graces comes to us through the angels. That is God's way, how he communicates his graces and his light, his knowledge to us through the angels. So you see already a very good reason why we should have a good relationship with the angels. And that's the reason why the church endorses a consecration to the guardian angel and then even all the angels. The little flower made her consecration to the angels before her first Holy Communion. And she often witnesses to the great graces she has received from her guardian angel. So what does a consecration to the angels do? I'd just say it in a few sentences. Through the consecration, basically, we commit ourselves to honor and open ourselves more to the influence of our personal guardian angel. And by doing this, he can now communicate his light, his grace, more perfectly, more effectively in our lives. That is, in a few sentences, how this consecration works. So we need to open ourselves. But the condition is that we cooperate with this consecration. Act of consecration is only the beginning. Now we need to live it out. So we need to offer greater faith, greater hope, greater charity, greater collaboration with the angels. Every grace you receive calls for a response. Often we pray, Jesus, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace. But we forget it's also a responsibility and a commitment. The more grace we receive, the more our responsibility and our commitment to share this grace with others. So when you receive special graces from the Blessed Mother for your family, through the angels, then you're always obliged to a greater commitment to live this life now in union with the angels. The angels have only one desire, to lead you to Jesus, to the Blessed Mother. You can also say, through the Blessed Mother, I even say, they lead you to the Blessed Mother, to Jesus, and to the cross in a certain sense, because the cross is a sign of our salvation. The angels are at our side. They are not in front of us, so to say. They do not want to be in the center, but they are our servants, our helpers, our friend. They strengthen us. They empower us that we can walk this way to Jesus and Mary more securely, with greater strength, with greater light, and then achieve a greater union with God. So it's not about adoring the angels, but they are given to us as our companions through life, that we reach this goal, Jesus, the Sacred Heart, in union with Our Lady, more perfectly and more easily. So this is in a few sentences what a consecration does. And I give you one story from St. Margaret Mary. She's the apostle of the Sacred Heart. We would not have the Sacred Heart devotion as we have it today without her being the instrument of God, making known the Sacred Heart to the world. So St. Maria Margaret Alacoque, she had also an encounter with angels. And she said, one day during the time of work, I was drawn to a little court near the Blessed Sacrament. And then she was surrounded by seraphim who sang these words in admirable harmony. Love triumphs, love rejoices in God. And then this Blessed Spirit invited her to join in their canticle of praise to the heart of Jesus Christ. And then she said, I dared not to do it, but they reproved me and told me they have come for the purpose of associating themselves with her in offering a continual homage of love and adoration and praise to the Sacred Heart. So the angels wanted a more intimate relationship with Margaret Mary. With Margaret Mary. You can call it covenant. You can call it consecration. You can call it special devotion. It all means the same in this context. So the seraphim themselves came and asked for this covenant. They desired it. So, why would they want to do this? Now she goes on. For this object, they would take my place before the Blessed Sacrament, that through their mediation I might be able to love without interruption. And they would participate in the love that caused me to suffer in the same manner as I in their persons should share in their joyful love. Now, these are mysterious, I will try to explain. So she, through this special association, they would take her place before the Blessed Sacrament, that through their mediation, she could now adore and love Jesus 24/7. We don't understand, it's a mystery. But other saints also spoke about similar mysteries in their lives that happened. So through this union, with more intense union with the seraphim, now what it means, she shares now in something the angels have and she doesn't have. You know, what is a marriage covenant? Now, this association with the angels is not a marriage covenant, but just an analogy. In a marriage covenant, you become one. You form a covenant. That means you share everything with your spouse. You share your bed, your bank account. And if the marriage is very good, you share even your thoughts and your heart. And you live in the other, and the other lives in you. So deep can a marriage bond grow. It's all based on love. It's all based on love. So now when we apply this principle here to Margaret Mary, the angels have something she doesn't have. They adore God 24/7, laughing with intense seraphic love, burning love. Through this more intense communication now she participates, and now she can love God much more and adore him 24/7. But the angels also profit from her, and that's the more mysterious part. They want to participate in the love that makes her suffering. You know, when do we love God more? When we suffer out of love. Suffering love is the greatest love. It's the only reason why God allows suffering in our lives, that we can grow and grow and grow by embracing this gift of suffering and enduring it out of love for God. That's the greatest love. That's the greatest love. Suffering love, redeeming love is the greatest love. Our Lord on the cross, that's when he loved us the most. The angels, they do not know suffering as we do. And for them, through us, they can learn what it meant for Christ to become man and to suffer on the cross. For us, the Trinity is a total mystery for us. For example, And for the angels, a total mystery how God can suffer in a human form and what it meant for him. But now, through our association with us, more intimately united to us, as we share in their gifts, so they share in our gifts, in what we know in our knowledge. And so they get a glimpse what it meant for God to become man, to empty himself, to become a slave, and to die for us on the cross. You see here, angel and man complement each other, as husband and wife complement each other. And so it's always in the spiritual life. We complement the angels and the angels complement us if we live this relationship of friendship with the angels. Later on, Margaret Mary said about this, it appeared to her as if this contract, this association, was written in letters of gold in the sacred heart of Jesus, in unfading characters of love. It simply means it is Jesus' desire, this association with the seraphim. And then she said, I've received from this association, I felt all my life the effects of it, both in the assistance I have received and in the sweetness it has produced and still continues to produce in me. This favor gave me so great a desire to obtain purity of intention and so how an idea of what is necessary in order to converse with God. So then we need to move on. So there's a consecration for adults and there's a consecration for children. It's a formal consecration that is approved by the Holy See. It was approved formally for the whole church in 2000, May 31st, by Cardinal Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict. So he approved this consecration of the guardian angel and all the holy angels. And this is now available basically for everybody who feels called and wants to establish this more intense relationship with the guardian angels through a consecration. And this consecration is not opposed to family consecration. It's the opposite. It will support your family consecration, your devotion to Jesus, to the Blessed Mother, and to Saint Joseph. It will support this devotion. It will increase this devotion. I said the angels have only one desire, to lead you closer into the Holy Family life, that you become more and more an image and a reflection of the Holy Family and the Blessed Trinity. This is what the angels want. They are at your side that you can accomplish this more perfectly. So there's a children consecration. This is very basic. It's basically, let's say, from 4 to 14 years. There's no formation implied. But the child must know about the guardian angel, must have a basic knowledge of the guardian angel, must love the guardian angel, desire his help, and wish to make the consecration of the guardian angel. Now, in order that the child has a little bit of preparation, I recommend, it's not a duty, but I recommend to read this book, Under Angels' Wings, with just these angel stories. That you, as parents, maybe read this with your kids, or each kid can also read it individually. And then, when the kid has somehow a good understanding or basic understanding of the angel and really loves the guardian angel and knows it as a guardian angel, then the child is ready to make the consecration to the guardian angel. This consecration is only positive consequences, no negative consequence. It's also not under sin. So if somebody does not fulfill the requirements, I mean, there are no requirements under sin. On the other hand, it must be lived out in our daily life. So if you only would make this consecration, you know, that we have it, would not really strive to grow in the spiritual life, it would be worthless. The same goes for family consecration. If you don't want really to grow in holiness in your family life, all the family consecration you want to make in a word, in a contract, in an act of consecration is worthless. You need to live it out. And so it's also with the angels. But the more you live it out, the more you grow, the more you expand, the more strength, the more light you have, the more your fervor, your burning fervor, and your missionary zeal will expand. When you dig into this beautiful consecration theology and then try to live it out in your daily life. So for the adult consecration, it's a little bit different. I have more 3 minutes. Here's a formation involved, a one-year formation. The church always wants, when we work towards a goal for a greater grace, we need to prepare ourselves. In order to get the marriage blessed, yeah, that you get married, you need to prepare for yourself, that you know what it is, and so on, that you then can really reap the graces of your marriage bond. And so it also with everything that is good that brings you further, especially when it's approved by the church, so it's a formal consecration, it's sanctioned by the church, and therefore by the very fact that you make this consecration in the name of the church, you receive more grace for your individual life and for your family, just by that fact. But you need to live it out, and the key is always cooperation, conscious collaboration with the angels. Does not mean we always just angel, not at all. But simply that we are open, that we know we have an angel, we are grateful, we're devoted to him, and we call upon him. We include him in our family as we include other family members, as we include Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in our family. The angels also are part of this family. And then they are free to give you these graces we have explained in this talk. So there's 1 year formation, and I could already offer that you apply here, but I won't do this because I know you're very busy at home, and I want that you think this over twice. It's not very much involved. The formation book has 12 formation letters, about 6 pages for each month, so there's not very much to read. More important than reading is that you translate what you learn into your daily life in the family. This is really the key. So you will not even need to read all the lessons. No? But the most important is to translate it, to build a friendship with the angels of your family, and then translate this new knowledge into your daily life. This is really the essence. And then you will see the power of the angels, how much they support you in your family life. So what I will do while we are here, I will pass out simply a flyer to you. There's all the information you need for now, and then you can think and pray about it, spouse, husband and wife, do we want to do it? Pray before God, and he will give you a sign whether you should do it. If you do it right. Now, as I said, it won't cost so much effort in terms of time, maybe only 5-10 minutes a day, may already be enough. But then during the day, implement this new knowledge. It doesn't cost time. It's simply a matter of what you do with this now during in your daily life. That you build a relationship, you can do your dishes, at the same time you can pray to your guardian angel. That's how you implement this new knowledge in your life. So real time maybe, and exercises which are indicated, they are not obligatory. That's something additional you can do. You don't have to do it. So some have more time, are more fervent, others less. So you can go the pace you can go if you want to do this. But you must have the desire to grow. So this is not yet the consecration. This is only now you enter the formation. And then only in a year you can decide whether you want to make this consecration. So this is a time of discernment, of growing, discernment, and then only next year we will send you an application, and then you can decide, I want to make the consecration or not, or I want to extend another year. That's also possible. And the next year, when you come back to one of the fests, you can make this formal consecration to your guardian angel. And the most beautiful is always if it done by husband and wife, and maybe the older children, 15 and older. And the younger kids, they can make the consecration for children, 4 to 14, if they have this basic knowledge, what I explained. So all the information you need will be in the flyer, and also I will pass out a flyer for the children consecration. And those who want to obtain the book, and another booklet on the guardian angel, and prayer cards, I will give out this whole package for a donation of $5 if you can afford. That's really what we pay for it. Normally the book is $13, retail price, I guess. Amazon, you can get it for $10 or $9. I give it to you for 5 with prayer cards and another booklet. It's our own price, and if you cannot afford it, it's for free. So those who are interested, you can afterwards meet me over there on the table and receive the information. Thank you very much for your attention, and may God bless you all. Thank you.